miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. UDocs@gmail.com. UDocs@gmail.com is the email address for Dr. Mike Roizen and guests and experts. And we'll go to a guest segment coming up at 35 past the hour. Does long-term drug treatment for obesity work, Dr. Mike?
Well, this is the top news story of the week. And to me, this was very interesting because I expected to see a result that said no, because very little of the short-term drug treatment works. So I said, well, since it doesn't work in the short term, how can it work in the long term? But in fact, what the data were that long term seemed to help the short term. That is, long term treatment seemed to improve weight control done by exercise and diet. So this was, if you look at obesity medications that are approved for long-term use, when prescribed with lifestyle interventions, produced additional weight loss relative to placebo. 3% of the initial weight loss for orlistat or lorcaserin, 9% for the top dose, 15 to 92 milligrams of phentermine, patoprimate. So that's the extended release that is the most commonly prescribed in the group of physicians I know of. They use the phentermine topramate, and that is the one that had a 9%. So if you figure you weighed 300 pounds to start with, this is an extra 27 pounds you would lose in addition to what you would lose from exercise and diet.
And what do these drugs do?
They decrease appetite.
Okay. Suppress appetite, right?
Yes.
Are they for everybody? Are there candidates that they're good for and some that would not be good for?
They have I wish I could tell you that they were good for everybody. Orlistat is the one that obviously causes... I think it was Jay Leno to go crazy because it causes, if you have too much fat in your diet, it can cause anal leakage.
Okay.
So that's not something you want to have.
No.
The other drug is phentermine and topramate. Some people do get drowsy. Some people do get depressive or other side effects from it, or in fact some people go manic on it. So there are some serious side effects, much more serious in fact than the statin drugs you were concerned about, Joe, and yet they do have some benefit for those people who have real trouble losing weight.
Would counseling be better? Because one of the stories we have this week is about doctors are told to consult their patients and maybe recommend counseling for someone who may have a weight problem.
Yeah, I think if you do consistent education and counseling, and we, as you know, we have a program called Enforcer E-Coaching. You can get that by going enforcereecoaching.com or by emailing us udocs@gmail.com. Same thing as this show has as its email address. We have a coaching program which helps people by coaching them every day and seems to have and does have from the data exceptional success of about, in men, about a pound a month, a pound a week for 26 weeks that the program lasts, and in women about 8/10 of a pound a week. Obviously, there's some prejudice in my talking about that now, but so counseling does seem to work, but it has to be fairly intense, and that's what the article, the doctors have been pushed to try and do intense counseling 6 times a month or more. I think it requires more, but at least this was for 6 times a month or more. The doctors were urged by the American Medical Association.
So how are companies watching people's waistlines? Let's go all through these. These are all kind of interconnected stories this week about weight loss and overweight. How are companies doing that?
Well, in the Affordable Care Act, and even before the Affordable Care Act, so it was approved by the Bush administration, up to 20% of differences in your health premium can be acknowledged, can be imposed based on your wellness programs, whether you're participating in them and whether you achieve solid results. So, for example, smoking, your LDL cholesterol, your weight for height, etc. But now in the Affordable Care Act, it goes to 30%, with it possible that Kathy Sabalas, if you include tobacco, can make it a 50% premium difference. So it can be, for example, it's an average of around $1,400 at the Cleveland Clinic for you being on a glide path to getting 5 normals, and your immunizations up to date, or you're deciding to say, no, I'm not going to worry about it. If you're on the glide path to being successful, or you actually have 5 normals, your rates, the amount you pay is zero, and you get, I think it's the difference is $1,400. So that's what your company, not only the Cleveland Clinic for our own employees, but your company can do the same thing. Your company cannot look at you as an individual, though. So it's got to be done by a third party, such as an insurance company or a health plan. And then it has to be anonymous to the company. The company can look at its total costs, that is over 5,000 employees, and modify it for those 5,000 employees, but without knowing which employee has a problem and which doesn't.
I think every company ought to have a workout room, an exercise room. I'm not sure probably not every company does, but I think everybody should set it one side, one room, whether it's an office or someplace in the basement or someplace, and set up an exercise room for everybody.
Well, that's part of what we call the WELL building standard. That is a standard for keeping people well in when you do building architecture.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the Cleveland Clinic, we have 7 workout rooms, 7 fitness areas, and you can sign into them by a swipe card, so you don't have to have a person manning them, so it can be relatively inexpensive to do this. So I tend to agree with you, Joe.
Yep. One more on exercise, and we got a break in at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll pick up our guest at 5:35. He's Matt Brubeck. He's the creator of what's called the Miracle Belt for kids with sensory issues. Baseball player in his own right and had some issues. He's come up with this invention. We'll talk to him about that. Now then, exercise is a good thing for moms that are going to have a baby, and even the baby. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I can tell you that absolutely it's a good thing for moms. The moms who exercise, they did a randomized controlled trial, but obviously it has to be a little voluntary because some of the moms, I think 12 exercised and 8 did not. The 12 that exercised, their babies had fewer problems. They had better EEG, that is brainwave responses to noise, and they seemed to learn better if the mom exercised, and the exercise was, I think it was 20 minutes 3 times a week during pregnancy. So wasn't a huge amount of exercise, but it did result in a baby having a better brain.
Does it seem to be a lot, 20 minutes 3 times a week, but it is a beneficial thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com on the telephone. If you want to pick up a phone, you can use that at 877-711-5211. And again, we are on iHeart Radio Talk. It's a special way for you to get your medical information through Radio MD or You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Just add the Daily Pulse on iHeart Radio and a special news and update station that you can customize. If you like health news, this is the way to do it on iHeart Radio Talk, okay? Guest segment is next on the You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thank you for listening, and stay well.